My dear friends, it is wonderful that we are gathered here in our Father's house once again to receive from Him and to be able to return praise and thanksgiving to Him. This is truly conversation with God. We hear from Him. We respond to Him. He speaks to us. We speak to Him. It's for that reason that we talk about being with God on these mornings. And so as we are gathered here in our Father's house, let us remember the very beginning when we were adopted into the kingdom. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you today. We thank you so much. We thank you that you have given us, Lord, this ability to be in your presence. We thank you that you have made us your children, and that because we are your children, we inherit eternal life from you. Lord, I pray that you would continue to be with us this morning. Help us, Lord, as we follow you, Lord, and as we hear your commands, Lord, and also your gospel, your grace, your love, that we would be in an ever closer relationship with you and return praise and thanksgiving for all that you've given us. Thank you, Jesus, for all this. In your name we pray. Amen. And I'm hiding things from myself. All right. Let us confess our sins to God our Father. Please stand as we confess. Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, we poor sinners confess to you that we are by nature sinful and unclean, and that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed. Because of this, we run for refuge to your infinite mercy, seeking your grace for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. O most merciful God, who has given your only begotten Son to die for us, have mercy upon us, and for his sake, forgive all our sins, and by your Holy Spirit, increase in us true knowledge of you and of your will, and true obedience to your word, to the end that by your grace, we may come to everlasting life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God in his mercy has given his Son to die for you and for his sake forgives you all of your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I forgive you all of your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us return praise and thanksgiving to our God.
And your wisdom must guide. Our hymn this month is All Creatures of Our God and King, and it comes from this scripture, Psalms 148. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights. Praise ye him, all ye angels. Praise ye him, all his hosts. Praise ye him, sun and moon. Praise him, all ye stars of light. Praise him, ye heavens of heavens and ye waters that be above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded and they were created. He has also established them forever and ever. He has made a decree which shall not pass. Praise the Lord from the earth, ye dragons and all deeps, fire and hail, snow and vapor, stormy wind fulfilling his word, mountains and all hills, fruitful trees and all cedars, beasts and all cattle, creeping things and flying fowl, kings of the earth and all people, princes and all judges of the earth, both young men and maidens, old men and children, let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is excellent. His glory is above the earth and heaven. He also exalts the horn of his people, the praise of all his saints, even of the children of Israel, a people near unto him. Praise ye the Lord.
Hallelujah. Morning. This is the day the Lord has made, so we'll rejoice and be glad in it. And as our songs told us to praise him with all of our heart. And I think in this Hebrew scripture, I'm not sure who the author is, but he was admonishing the people that they would just not come to worship God habitually and not think of what they were worshiping him for. And I think that's for us too. Every Sunday we come and we should be thinking of God, praising him and worshiping him. And so it's good. I hope that we're doing just that today. And so I'm going to read from Hebrew chapter 3, verses 12 through 19. See to it, brothers and sisters, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. But encourage one another daily, as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. We have come to share in Christ, if indeed we hold our original conviction firmly to the very end. As has just been said, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion. Who were they who heard and rebelled? Were they not all those Moses led out of Egypt? And with whom was he angry for 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose body perished in the wilderness? And to whom did God swear that they would never enter his rest, if not to those who disobeyed? So we see that they were not able to enter because of their unbelief. This is the word of the Lord.
All right, kid, it is now time for the children's message. So if you guys want to come forward at this time, Mr. Johnson has the message for today.
How are you guys this morning? That is good. So I'm going to talk about our sermon text. We haven't read it yet, but what our sermon message is, it's a story about a very rich man who, in his mind, followed all the commandments. He never sinned, and he came to Jesus, and he said, "What must I do to have eternal life?" And Jesus said, "Sell everything you have and give to the poor and come and follow me." And the man got really sad because he really loved all the nice things that he had. So it got me thinking about, you know, what was I going to talk to you guys about today? And, you know, I was thinking about just of all the blessings that God gives us, and it's really great sometimes how God blesses us. But the question is, what do we do with the blessings that God gives us? Do we just keep them for ourselves, and do we try to get even more stuff? So maybe I want more toys or bigger house, nicer car, or do I try to use the blessings that God has given me so that we can be a blessing to others? So that's the message that I want you guys to think about, is just how can you bless your friends, whether it be your friends at school or in your neighborhood. It'd be little things, maybe like sharing your toys, maybe when sometimes you don't want to share, or maybe helping others, but always think about how can you be a blessing to others with the gifts that God has blessed you with. Okay? Can you do that? All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for all the many blessings that you give us. Oftentimes we are not appreciative of those blessings, and we thank you that you forgive us when we sometimes are selfish. But please send your Spirit, help us to share and be grateful for everything that you have with us, and that we can share with a cheerful heart, and that everything that we do, we can bring others to a relationship with you. And all God's children say, amen. All right, well, thank you very much for coming. And there's a cross in the middle, so time for a little worship. So for ages 4 to 4th grade, a little message for you.
Thank you, Lewis. All right, my friends. Today's scripture reading is Mark chapter 10, verses 17 to 22. As Jesus started on his way, a man ran up to him and fell on his knees before him. "Good teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "Why do you call me good?" Jesus answered. "No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony. You shall not defraud. Honor your father and mother." "Teacher," he declared, "all these things I have kept since I was a boy." Jesus looked at him and loved him. "One thing you lack," he said. "Go sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me." At this, the man's face fell. He went away sad because he had great wealth. Before the service starts, we always gather in the front to pray, and the elder is the one that prays for us. And this day it was Darwin Krauss, and what he prayed this morning for you was that if anybody has any doubts about your salvation, if anybody doubts God's love for you and what Jesus has done for you, if anybody wonders if this message of salvation that we celebrate is really true, that we would address that topic today. And amazingly enough, God wants to deal with exactly that topic. This poor young man, I mean, he's the rich young man, right? But he's a young man that we have a lot of sympathy for. I mean, our hearts go out to the guy. He's a likable guy. I mean, he's not arrogant or prideful. You know, I mean, he comes and he when he approaches Jesus, he falls on his knees at Jesus' feet and says, "Good teacher, what must I do to be saved?" And just think what's in that question. I mean, this is not a guy who's like had a hard life. This is not a guy who has been kicked and beaten and brought down by all the difficulties and stresses of life. This is a guy who's wealthy and probably had it pretty good and pretty easy. You know, and back then, the wealth was kind of seen as a blessing from God, almost a confirmation of your goodness, you know? I mean, it's sort of like, you know, if God's in control of everything, then he's going to bestow extra blessing on the ones that he favors, the ones that are doing really, really well. And this young man was wealthy, so he must have had something going for him. Yet when he comes to Jesus, he does it with a lot of passion and a lot of insecurity. He's not sure. And he's struggling with that insecurity. He doesn't like being insecure. He wants a really solid answer. "Lord, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And you can hear the need and the pain in the question. It's a wrong question. I mean, the beginning, right, is that what must I do, right? I mean, and Jesus doesn't miss that part of the question, but that's not the first part of the question that Jesus hits, because Jesus is a really smart teacher. And so he focuses on the first part of the question, which was the way the guy talked to Jesus, what he called Jesus. And what did he call Jesus? He said, "Good teacher," right? And Jesus says, isn't that really the point? You know, to get to heaven, don't you have to be good? To be blessed by God, don't you have to be good? And so let's poke at that a little bit. And Jesus asks him, "Why do you call me good? Nobody's good." You know, goodness doesn't really exist among humanity. We don't have that quality. And then Jesus goes on and he says, "Okay, you want to know what to do? How about this? Let's talk about some of the Ten Commandments. And you notice any commandments missing in this list that Jesus gives? You notice this? What commandment does he start on? Starts on number 5 and then loops back to number 4. But the ones that he really, really missed was 1 through 3, right? And you guys remember all the way back to confirmation class, right? Where there's the two tables of the law. There's the first 3 commandments, which is summarized as love God. And then the rest of the commandments are all talking about loving your neighbor, right? Okay, good. So what Jesus is focusing the kid on at first is, let's talk about loving your neighbor. And so he takes him through the commandments and he says, let's see here. Now, whoops, I'm in the wrong place. He goes, you know the commandments. Number 5, do not murder. Number 6, do not commit adultery. Number 7, do not steal. Number 8, do not give false testimony. You must not defraud, which is probably talking about the 9th and 10th commandments. And then he loops back to the 4th commandment, honor your father and mother. And what does the young man say? Check. Done those. Okay, Jesus could have taken him back to the Sermon on the Mount. I mean, he could have just like sat him down and let's have a lecture. Let's talk about how you really have not kept these commandments. That's not true. You're totally misunderstanding this. Does Jesus take that route? No. What does Jesus do? Okay, this question. You know, remember the question, what would Jesus do? The little bracelet that we gave youth ministry and all that kind of stuff. Okay, for pastors, that's just unfair. Because the answer, what would Jesus do, is, well, Jesus knows the person's heart, and he asks just the right questions all the time. I can't do that, right? It's not fair. But Jesus did, and that's the really important thing that we have to see here, is that Jesus asked the question that got right, laser-focused on the main problem that this guy was having. And he says, okay, only one thing you lack, just one. Right? Take all the stuff you own, sell it, give the money to the poor, and come and follow me. What was Jesus offering at this point? I mean, who else did Jesus come and ask that question or that give that command to follow me? I mean, who did he say that to? It's happened at least 12 times, right? Yeah, okay, good hint, right? Yeah, okay, so I mean, it's like the disciples, the apostles, those are the ones that Jesus came to them and said, come, follow me. And what kind of an amazing gift was that? To be the disciple of Jesus himself, right? To be able to learn from the one who understands everything, to be able to ask all those crazy questions, you know, all the things that puzzle us and make us, you know, scratch our heads and not understand, and the things that we want to understand, the things that we want to know. And then not only that, but the ministry that then followed, that those guys were the least in the kingdom of heaven in the sense that they served everybody, right? But the greatest in the kingdom of heaven because they served everybody, but they served everybody God's word. And they led so many people into the faith and led the church through this explosive growth at the beginning. I mean, just the most exciting career choice they could have had, right? And what is Jesus offering this young man? Discipleship, right? Follow me. Isn't that the most amazing thing? I mean, don't you wish you had the opportunity? Don't you wish God would come down and say, hey, tell you what, follow me. I will disciple you. I will guide you through the world. I will take you through life, and I will be your master, and I will help you with all the answers to the problems that you have. That'd be an amazing thing, right? What was the young man's response? He went away sad. Why? Because he had money. A lot of money and a lot of possessions. And what Jesus was offering him is not a transaction. It's not like if you give away your money, then you'll be my disciple. It wasn't like that. It was Jesus was noticing in this kid's life, where was this kid's faith? What was this kid's God? You know what I'm saying? I mean, what made this guy feel safe? His money. What was this guy's identity? He was rich. You know? What was the meaning of this kid's life? I'm wealthy and I can do what I want to do. You know what I'm saying? I mean, this is it. Is that his God was his stuff. And what Jesus is pointing out to him is, I'm offering you a different deal. How about I be your God and not your stuff? And was the kid jumping up and down, happy as, like, you know what I mean? What a great deal. Trade all this stuff for God. Isn't that an amazing thing? No, he didn't. He went away sad. Why? Because it was his God. And what Jesus was asking him to do was to sacrifice that thing that was most dear and central to him. What if God asked us to do that today? You know? I mean, what if God said, you know what? I want you to follow me. But I know that there's this stuff that's between you and me. There's this stuff that distracts your faith from trusting in me directly. And it's this money that you have, this bank account, this pension plan, this stock portfolio, you know, this security that you have developed in the world, this mountain of money that makes you feel safe and that you figure is protecting you and taking care of you and providing for you, all the things that I want to do. And what if God said, you know what? I'd really rather not have that other stuff in your life. Because God says, I am a, in the meaning of the, in the close of the commandments, remember? I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God. What does that mean? Well, it's like this. What happens if you're in your marriage, all of a sudden there was a third person who is taking some of the attention of your spouse away from you? How'd you feel about that? You know? Would you be okay with it? No. Why? Because that's my spouse, right? It's my husband, my wife. I'm not sharing them with anybody. Huh. How's God view you? Are you his? Does he want to share you with anything? And so what happens if we as Christians start looking to anything else, anything in this world, and giving it the attention, the faith, the ownership of ourselves that he only deserves? How do you think he's going to feel about that? He's going to be okay with that? And that's exactly what was going on in this verse, is that the young man saw his wealth as the thing that would protect him, the thing that would make him feel secure, the thing that would give him meaning, the thing that gave him identity. It was his God. And God's not okay with that. And God, this is the best part of the verse. The best words in this whole verse is this: and Jesus loved him. Isn't that amazing? I mean, this kid's messed up. This kid's not even really with God at this point. He's struggling. He's hurting, but he's hurting for a good reason, because God is not letting him off the hook. You know, God loves him too much, and God is causing him to be insecure because his faith is in the wrong stuff. He's not where he needs to be. His relationship with God is blocked with other things, and God is causing him to be insecure, causing him to be unhappy, causing him to be restless in his faith, because God wants to fix this. And so finally the kid comes to Jesus, and Jesus pokes right in the middle of, this is the problem. Give up all your money. And instead of your putting all your focus and attention on that, put all your focus and attention on me. Easy to judge this kid, right? He goes away sad. He's not willing to give up this paltry, material, temporary blessing that we have on this planet for the sake of an eternal relationship with God. What a dork, right? Until we start thinking a little deeply. And you know what? The thing is that our problem might not be money. Problem could be relationships. You know? What is it that makes you you? What is it that where you get your strength? Where is it that you look to for your ultimate source of identity, security, and meaning? Whatever it is, that's your God. You know, what is it that makes you feel safe? Is it retreating from the world and not paying attention to it and finding entertainment or something that means nothing so you don't have to worry about all the stuff that's really meaningful in life? Is it that you can retreat to your family? Is that, you know, you pour all your attention into your children or grandchildren? What is it that becomes your God? What is it that is standing between you and God? Where do you turn for comfort instead of God? Because this is what Jesus does. He looks at the people he loves, and he pokes the thing that means so much to us because it's taking a space in our life it doesn't deserve. It's that third thing that's in the relationship between you with you and God. And God's not okay with it. And I dare you, pray that God would show it to you. He will. And the thing is this. Those things, God does not want those things to be our God, not only because he's jealous, but because those things don't hold up. They're not worthy of our worship. They're not worthy of our praise. They're not worthy of our faith. They can't actually fulfill the promises that they make to us. You know, money says that we're going to be secure, right? Tell that to the wealthy people in the 30s who lost everything because the stock market crashed, right? Tell that to the people who lost all their money in the tech bust. And, you know, tell that to all the people who lost their money when the real estate crash happened. I mean, there's all of these times where people don't do anything wrong. They're just living their life, and all of a sudden, the stuff that they trust is taken away. And God's like, I don't want your faith to be damaged. I don't want you to fall on your face because you're believing in the wrong thing. I want you to trust me and believe in me. And we got to remember the reason that God wants this relationship with us so badly. It's not just about this world, but it's about the world to come. And that we know that we are eternal, that we were created and we will now live forever someplace. And that God has literally died to make it possible for you to be in heaven with him. And he is jealous. He wants you with him forever. And there is nothing else on this planet that can make that promise. There's nothing in this world that can make the promise of eternal life with Christ, of an eternity secure knowing that we belong to him. Jesus looks at you just like the young man, and he says, he loves you. Right where you are, right with all the things that you've done, with exactly where you are in this world and the situation that you find yourself in today, he looks at you and he says, I love you. And I want you, all of you. And so he says, give up those things that stand between us. Find them in your life and give them up. And the best way to give them up is give them to Jesus. In other words, the money and the stuff, give it to God. Don't consider it something that is yours, but something that is his. The relationships God puts in your life, give them to God. They don't exist for you, they exist for him and his purposes in your life. Anything that you are putting before God, give it to God. so that God becomes the one in the center. Because our God is a jealous God. He looks at you and he loves you. And he doesn't want to share you with anything. He loves you so much he died for you. And now he is in heaven preparing a place for you. He is with you every day. He walks with you. He gives you security because he is in power, he has power over everything. And he's on your side. And on the last day, it just gets better. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. Thank you that you have loved us. That in the middle of our sin, the middle of our fallenness, the middle of our following after so many things that are not you, Lord, you continue to love us and call us back to yourself. I pray that you would forgive us, restore us, and Lord, help us as you invite us deeper into a relationship with you. Thank you, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen. All right, my friends, as we continue our worship service today, let us give thanks to our God for the revelation that he has given us in Holy Scripture, these ancient words that we are able to hold on to because he preserved them for us. Let's sing. My friends, let us confess our faith using the explanation of the first article of the Apostles' Creed. We confess, I believe that God has made me and all creatures, that he has given me my body and soul, eyes, ears, and all my members, my reason and all my senses, and still takes care of them. He also gives me clothing and shoes, food and drink, house and home, spouse and children, land, animals, and all I have. He richly and daily provides me with all that I need to support this body and life. He defends me against all danger and guards and protects me from all evil. All this he does only out of fatherly divine goodness and mercy, without any merit or worthiness in me. For all this, it is my duty to thank and praise, serve and obey him. This is most certainly true. Please be seated. Today is the day that we are giving out the Bibles to our young people in first through third grade. We gave them out in third grade in the past. We're migrating to first grade. And with COVID in there, we're still like giving them out to a whole bunch of different ages. I don't know if anybody is here that's in the first through third grade that hasn't received a Bible yet. If so, if you just indicate, let me know. If not, then we'll keep going. I know that most of them, everybody signed up to do late service. I just wanted to make sure we didn't leave anybody out. All right, with that then, let us come before our Father in heaven in prayer. What an amazing gift prayer is. I mean, truly, to be able to have a conversation with God, to read his word and to hear what his voice and his message for us, and then to be able to speak to him, knowing that he has promised to hear us when we do. So let's go to our Father in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come before you today, Lord. We thank you so much for the children that you have given us in our church, the people that you have given us responsibility for, those who we get to teach about you, your actions in history, the things that your love has caused you to do for us and for the people that you love, and especially, Lord, that amazing forgiveness, that salvation that you have earned on our behalf and that we get to teach these children. Lord, I pray that you'd be with those kids, especially the ones that we're giving Bibles to in late service today, that you would help them, Lord, to continue to grow closer to you through this word that you have given us. Send your spirit to work in their hearts and minds, Lord. Help them to grow closer to you. Help their families, their parents, their siblings. Just, Lord, help them and help us all, Lord, as we continue to grow in relationship to you. Lord, I pray that you would continue to work through us, Lord, as we struggle and to be your hands and feet in this world, as we battle with the effects of sin, as we help with the people who are struggling because of disease, sickness, death, financial problems, Lord, relationship problems, all the problems of life, Lord, that all got started because we sin. And Lord, we pray that you would also help us to combat the most damaging effects of sin, and that is the damaged relationship with you. Lord, help us as we speak your peace, speak your mercy, speak that amazing grace and gospel, Lord, that message of how you have redeemed us so that we also can be your children again. Lord, I pray that you would bless our church as we do ministry. Lord, we pray for our friends throughout the world, Lord, those in the Navajo Reservation, those in Guatemala, Lord, and also those up in North County, Lord, up in the Blackjack area, Lord, the ministries that we are partnering with, that we can do, that we can work alongside our brothers and sisters in Christ to do ministry in their places. Lord, I pray that you would bless those ministries. Help us, Lord, to return to them so that we're able to do these ministries again, Lord, with this pandemic. I pray that you would make it possible and help us, Lord, remain safe as we reengage in these places. Lord, I pray for all those in our congregation who are struggling with sickness and disease and depression and anxiety, Lord, and the worries of disease as well, Lord, especially in this pandemic. Lord, I pray that you would bring your peace, your strength, your joy into their lives, Lord, so that we can live in you, so that our lives will be meaningful because we are living out the purpose that you have given us, and that we would do it with boldness. Lord, all these things we bring before you today, and we pray the prayer that you've taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. On the night that Jesus was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, drink of it, all of you. This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me." Receive this very body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, because God looked at us and loved us. Depart in his peace and in his joy. Amen. And receive our Lord's blessing today. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of his Holy Spirit be with you always. Amen. Let's stand up as we sing the final song of praise. right, please be seated. A few announcements we have this morning. First of all, poinsettias. Okay, this is just, I can't get past this. We're talking about selling poinsettias before Halloween. Say nothing of Thanksgiving. I mean, it's just crazy. But nevertheless, the deal is that we need to have them in by next week, Sunday. I mean, so it's the deadline is rapidly approaching. So please, let's get our all our poinsettias orders in. And the orders have been coming in pretty good. So that's wonderful, and I'm grateful to you guys for that. Other thing. Okay, this is a really good one. I also told you about the pizzas, right? The TJ's pizzas that I'm so fabulously thrilled about, right? But the deal is now they're motivating me to really market these things, because the deal is Mr. Denning makes a deal with the students, and he says, if you guys sell a certain number of pizzas, I think this year it's 800 items, he's going to dress up in a hot dog suit, and the two biggest sellers get to squirt him with ketchup and mustard. So please contribute to the delinquency of our minors and buy pizza, because this is going to be great. This is going to be really awesome. Anyway, so there's that. All right, and then the other thing is that we are, have you heard, we're changing worship times again. Only this is really good. The thing is that at the beginning of the summer, we thought COVID was over. It was behind us. This was pre-Delta. And we thought, okay, let's have two services because we're all going to come back and this is going to be amazing. And we make plans and God laughs at us, and that's how life is. And so basically we're acknowledging that this might be a little while, and we're going to just, and we'd rather all be together than be separate. And so we're gonna have one church service. We're gonna do it at 9:30, fellowship time at 10:30. Basically we actually are intentionally leaving time between church and Bible study. It's not a mistake, it's not a bug, it's a feature, all right? It's intentional. We're doing this because it's really important that we be able to spend some time together reconnecting and knowing each other well enough to be able to pray for each other and support each other. You know, it's kind of an important thing. So we're doing that, and then at 11 o'clock, we're going to have Bible studies and Sunday school. So, that's all starting on the 24th, all right? Now, also starting on the 24th is all the new Bible studies. And so we have a flyer. I don't know if it's in the bulletin yet, but you'll be seeing it real soon otherwise. And it's going to be, there's going to be a Bible study on Fruit of the Spirit. There's going to be a Love and Logic parent class taught by our very own Kathy Frazier, the director of our preschool. And she knows a little bit about raising little kids because she has one, and actually she has two. One's just still on the inside. So, be praying for her because she needs more sleep. You know, that's part of that, having the baby on the inside. Anyway, and then also the Sunday school is starting this epic teachings of the Bible Sunday school curriculum. And so it's going to be kind of fun. I can't wait to see that all happen too. And the way it's going to work is lately we've been gathering in here, having the opening and then breaking up and then coming back here for the closing. The worship team wants the church because they want to practice for Christmas. So we're going to move to the gym and have our openings in the gymnasium and then be dividing up in classrooms down there until Christmas, okay? And we don't begrudge the worship team because they work really hard. They can have anything they want. And they're making good music for us for Christmas. So it's a win-win for everybody. All right, guys. With that, then, God's blessings on your week. It's been really wonderful worshiping with you this morning, and I'll see you in the back.